money to address the fact that most planes can't fly on battery power alone. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. We've got electric cars and sometimes hydrogen-powered buses, but it's still old-fashioned kerosene, a fossil fuel that motivates jet airplanes. To move the industry toward decarbonization, United Airlines has launched a $100 million fund to support new companies working on more sustainable jet fuels. Partners include JPMorgan Chase, GE Aerospace, Honeywell, and Air Canada. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Battery technology is advancing into the skies, but slowly, says Ron Pernick at equity research firm Clean Edge.
In the next 5 or 10 years, we likely will see electrification of helicopters or short-haul vehicles.
But to fly a few hundred passengers across a continent, you need high-powered, high-carbon jet fuel.
We're not really going to see long-haul transport using batteries. It's just too difficult. And that's why this announcement to decarbonize fuels is probably an important step.
Pernick says early investment will go into biofuels made from recycled waste and crops. Columbia University economist Gernot Wagner says the $100 million investment in early-stage technologies is just a start.
It doesn't deploy existing biofuels at scale, right? That takes billions.
United will utilize incentives in the Biden administration's climate bill to spur its investments. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
When the Dow Jones average fell nearly 700 points yesterday, 2.1%, that erased all the gains of this year so far. The NASDAQ fell 2.5%. This is people selling because they don't see the economy cooling off enough to stop inflation without maybe a recession. Susan Schmidt is head of public equity at the State of Wisconsin Investment Board.
Well, it certainly seems like that was the realization from yesterday. And don't forget that we've had an exceptionally strong start to the year. The NASDAQ, that tech-heavy index that took such a beating, is up still after yesterday, almost 10% year-to-date. We've had a very optimistic start to the year. It just seems that, based on yesterday, investors have grown suddenly cautious that perhaps things aren't as great as they assumed, and the economy may be in for a rough patch after all.
Hong Kong will be getting over $600 to all adults there as it looks to give that economy a boost. However, the stimulus is half the free money people got last year as the financial hub dials down some spending. The BBC's Martin Yip is in Hong Kong.
This is the third consecutive year that Paul Chan is handing out these vouchers, but it's the first time under the current city leader, John Lee. And despite the government's intention to support the general public when the whole world is facing a cost of living crisis, the amount it is paying out is only half of last year. The previous voucher handout, together with anti-epidemic expenses, is to leave the city with a fiscal deficit of $18 billion by the end of March, which technically breaches the city's mini constitution, the Basic Law. Mr. Chen argues that Hong Kong's level of reserve is still healthy and China's economic recovery would bring a strong rebound to the city.
The money news never sleeps, nor does my colleague Kai. Guy Risdahl's been up for hours already, and the sun's barely up. Listen for developments in workplace culture, innovation, markets on many public radio stations later today. Or you could stream from marketplace.org. Russia's invasion of Ukraine profoundly reshaped the global markets for oil and gas. The energy effects are being felt widely, but especially in Germany. Now, before the war, Europe's largest economy got as much as half of its natural gas by pipeline from Russia and used it to generate electricity and to heat homes and factories. As sanctions took hold, Russia cut the supply to Germany, and then somebody blew up one of the gas pipelines that had carried it. Marketplace's Lily Jamali reports on how Germany has managed its energy in the years since Russia invaded Ukraine.
Just after last year's invasion, Moritz Kuhn of the University of Bonn and a team of other economists published a paper called What If? As in, what if Germany stopped getting energy from Russia? They argued the effects would be substantial but manageable.
That was highly, highly controversial.
Those imports stopped last summer, and Germany's economy has survived.
The general population, but also policymakers, are all pretty surprised about how well Germany adapted to the new situation.
Conservation has helped. Germany used almost 15% less natural gas last year. When we spoke recently, the heat in Kuhn's office was off. The weather cooperated. A warm winter has also let Germany stock up on natural gas, and the nation has remade how it sources it without Russia. Atlantic Brücke CEO Julia Friedlander says the war supercharged infrastructure plans that would have taken years.
Push came to shove, it took them months. So it shows that in a crisis situation, things can move really fast.
With gas pipelines from Russia out of commission, Germany started installing floating terminals that allow it to import liquefied natural gas, or LNG, by ship.
In infrastructure language, it was lightning speed.
Much of that LNG now comes from the U.S., which has become Europe's largest source of LNG. The gas didn't come cheap, as prices surged last year, says Anna Mikulska, fellow at Rice University's Baker Institute.
Europe was able to outbid pretty much everybody else.
Mikulska says that's had consequences for the energy security of other countries.
A lot of LNG that would have otherwise gone to Asia, countries like Pakistan, like Vietnam, like Bangladesh or India, ended up in Europe.
Climate activists in Germany haven't been happy about this energy transition. Natural gas, after all, is a fossil fuel, and the use of another, coal, jumped by 5% last year. Nuclear plants slated for retirement are still online for now. Notre Dame economist Rudy Bachmann wonders whether Germany's crisis mentality will last.
Can they learn to sort of move this tempo forward with these other major public infrastructure projects like wind parks?
Germany is aiming to be carbon neutral by 2045. I'm Lily Jamali for Marketplace.
And the National Labor Relations Board has now ruled that employers cannot prevent former workers from speaking out in return for getting their severance. The NLRB says it's following important and long-lasting precedent that employees losing their jobs should not be forced into waiving their rights. Trump-era rulings had approved these non-disparagement clauses. The ruling was in the case of a hospital in the Detroit suburbs that ended the jobs of 11 people but required severance contracts that stopped the employees from saying bad things about the place. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. May PM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.